Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm coming to you live from Mumias, Kenya, out in West Kenya. We've been having some beautiful weather here, nice, warm, sunny days, very few clouds, and it's just been beautiful weather. This is the winter time here, and we're going into a dry season, not much rain this time of year up until about the 1st of March. And then it'll start to rain, and they have what they call the long rains, or the more tropical season, the time of much rain to get the crops planted, to get the crops started. Then they also have a time they call short rains, which comes in September, October, November, and those rains are not of as great a duration or volume, you might say. And so there's basically two rainy seasons here to get the crops growing. And you can actually grow two crops of maize, two crops of beans, two crops of tomatoes, all that kind of stuff here in West Kenya. So today we're going to be talking about living water. And again, this is a great story from the Bible. This is one of the great foundational stories that Jesus tells, the living water and how it applies to each one of us, how each one of us can have this living water, and it can be part and parcel of our life and determine our eternal destiny. And so if you have your Bible there today, turn it to John chapter 4, and we're going to look at this story of the living water. And in John chapter 4, Jesus is coming through the land of Samaria. And it says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Well, just to give you a little background of what is going on here, Samaria was a place where Jews were not welcome, the Samaritans and the Jews. Samaritans were half-breeds, you might say. They were people that were not of any pure tribal race, and so the Samaritans were shunned by the Jews. And so Jews didn't ever go into their territory. They didn't have any dealings with them. And so it is very unusual in this story. It is very unusual for Jesus, who is a Jew from Galilee. He is now in the territory of Samaria. And not only that, he's going to have an encounter with a Samaritan woman. He's going to have an exchange, a conversation with a Samaritan woman, which is totally out of character and out of context in that day for a Jew to be doing this. And so it says here that Jesus had met a woman of Samaria at this well, Jacob's well, and Jesus had sat down there to rest, and he was weary from his journey. He sat down beside the well, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, asks a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And so she recognized and brought up right away the fact that this conversation was out of character for the culture. It was not something that she was used to. She had no understanding of why he was there, why he was encountering her, and why he was engaging her in conversation. And so in verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Well, by this time, she's probably going, "Who is this guy? He must be some kind of a nut talking about living water and gift of God. And if you would ask of me, I would give you some other kind of water besides this water that's in this well." I mean, the things that he was saying to her were totally out of context for what she was used to hearing and seeing and what she was used to believing. And so Jesus is bringing up to her a whole new paradigm, a whole new conversation that has to do with her eternal life. And beloved, this is an example to us of how we can engage and encounter people who are not saved. When we engage them in conversation, we can talk to them about eternal life. Just bring up some conversation that has to do with God, has to do with heaven, has to do with what do you believe is going to happen to you after you die? What do you believe is going to happen to you when you're done with this business, when you're done with this farm, when you're done with the life that you have here on this earth? Just throw in some comment that will open up a conversation about eternal life. And this is the way that you bring people to the Lord. This is the way that you witness. This is the way that you testify to people. We have the opportunity here in Macunda, the village where the Living Water Orphanage Home is being built. We have an opportunity to witness to the Muslims out there. There's about 75% of the people out there are Muslim. And you can engage them in conversation. You can talk about their farm. You can talk about their family, their wives, their livestock, whatever. But if you just want to steer the conversation towards eternal life, towards eternal destiny, towards salvation, and bring up the fact of Jesus being the Savior and not just a prophet, as he is spoken in the Quran, you can steer the conversation towards talking about God, talking about Jesus, talking about eternal salvation. Just throw in a sentence, throw in a thought about eternal life. What do you plan to do with your life after you die? Many times they will say, I don't even want to think about it. And so that's a pretty typical response. But what I'm saying is that Jesus wanted to engage this lady in a conversation about her eternal life. And so this is the way he did it. He brought up the fact that, well, lady, there's some different water that you can have that can be in your life besides this well water right here. And so he says, if you knew the gift of God. Well, right there, that probably really shook her up. Well, believe it or not, beloved, there is a gift of God for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never confessed him as your Lord and Savior, there is a gift of God for you. And that's what Jesus was talking about, this life, eternal life, this gift of living water is eternal life, this gift of God that this lady could have. Jesus knew all about it, of course. He was the Son of God. And so each and every person on the face of the earth can have this gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The wages of our sin is death. There's a price to pay for sin. And that sin, all of us have. We lie, we cheat, we steal. Sometimes we do even more greater things than that. We sometimes murder. Sometimes people do unspeakable acts of violence and all kinds of murder and rape and all kinds of stuff. But I tell you today, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so every single person listening to me today, every single person on the face of the earth, every single person in Africa, America, or anywhere else, we all have a sin problem that separates us from God. And so that separation then can only be reconciled when we receive the free gift of God. That is, our sins can be covered, they can be washed away, they can be remitted. We can have remission of sins by the blood of Jesus. Jesus, the sinless one, the perfect one, was the sacrifice. He made the payment, the ransom for our sin. And so that free gift of God is available to us. and we can have it. All we have to do is say yes to Jesus, yes to his grace, yes to his mercy, yes to his love. For with the heart one believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses, resulting in salvation. So it happens in your heart first. Your heart becomes convicted. You receive the idea that you can have your sins forgiven, and that you are convicted by the Holy Spirit, that you know that you are a sinner, that you know that you lie, that you cheat, you steal, and you know from the conviction of the Holy Spirit that you need to get right with God. And so the free gift then is available to you once you receive that conviction in your heart. With the heart you believe, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth you confess, resulting in salvation. And so Jesus is bringing this subject up to the lady. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, well, of course, she didn't know who he was. She'd never seen him before. Give me a drink. But he was saying that the one who is saying this to you, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Well, what he's doing is he's giving her a prescription or the passageway to eternal life. Well, the woman said to him, verse 11, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" So she's starting to come into the conversation about the living water. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the living water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And so he's making a contrast. He's making a comparison between the water in the well and the living water, which Jesus said, if you take of this living water that I can give you, if you take of it and incorporate it into your life, it will become water that springs up out of you, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, beloved, Jesus is the answer to our problems. He's the answer to eternal life. He's the answer to anxiety, to depression, despair, to disappointment, all those things that go with living here on the earth. And beloved, if you have that living water in you, then you can know Jesus. You can share that living water with your family, with your friends, with others, people you don't even know. You can share that living water and let people know how great Jesus has been in your life and what a blessing he has been to you, how he has brought peace into your life and hope and joy into your life, all those things that come with the living water, then you can share with those around you. I'm going to tell you a little story here of something that happened to me many years ago. I think it was back in about 2002, maybe quite a few years ago, and I was praying and fasting. Had been through a lot with family breakup and a lot of stress and a lot of disappointment in my life that I was dealing with. And so I was praying and fasting and I was just asking the Lord to fill me up, to give me joy, to give me peace and give me the strength to go on. And yes, every single one of us faces those kind of mountains in our life. Every single one of us faces roadblocks and stumbling blocks in our life. And so there are times when we just need to rest in Jesus. There's times when we need to pray. There's times when we need to fast and just rest in Jesus and put ourselves in his hands and say, "Jesus, I'm here. I want to unload all of my problems on you. I want to unload all of my despair, my disappointment on you." And so that's what I was doing. I was in a time of prayer and fasting, and I went 3 days with no food, no water, and I was seeking the Lord's face. The Lord spoke to me and encouraged me to keep going, and He encouraged me to read Esther, the story of Queen Esther, where she did a 3-day no food, no water fast. She was interceding for her family, the Jewish people, who had been issued a decree against them by the wicked Haman, and the decree was that all the Jews would be wiped out. And so Queen Esther was in a place of authority. She was sitting next to the king, and so she went on a 3-day no food, no water fast, and she said, "I'll go in to see the king." And all of the people who were fasting with her, she said, "If you will fast for me and intercede for me, I will fast, I will pray, I will go in to see the king, and I will ask him to reverse the edict or reverse the decree that had been issued against my people, the Jewish people in Susa." They were in captivity over in Babylon, and so all the cards were stacked against them, all the forces of the devil were stacked against them. And so she went into the king after her fast and asked the king to reverse the decree and listen to her plea. And the king did. He listened to her plea, and her people were saved from extinction. Her people were saved from persecution and from, or instant death, I should say. And so I was in the same situation. I was asking the Lord, "Lord, preserve my family. Raise up my family, give my family strength to go ahead and to serve you, to love you, to honor you in their life." And so as I was fasting at the end of the 3rd day, the Lord took me up in the spirit to heaven, and he sat me down beside the living water, the water of the river of life that comes down out of heaven. Revelation 22, there's a river that comes down out of heaven, and I believe that river is the one that feeds the living water in each and every one of us in a spiritual way, but it exists in reality in heaven. And in verse 1 in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb." In verse 2, "In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." And so this river of life that's coming down out of heaven, I believe, feeds the living water in each and every one of us in a spiritual sense. And so the Lord took me up, and he sat me down beside this river. And I don't know how all that happened. It was in the spirit. I wasn't there physically, I know, but I was just there in the spirit, sitting down beside this river, and an angel or some person put a big pitcher in my hand, like a water pitcher that would hold, you know, a gallon of water or half a gallon of water. Somebody put a pitcher in my hand, and I was just dipping out of this river of life. And beautiful crystal clear water, just like the description we just read there in the book of Revelation. The water was dancing down out of heaven, the river of life with the trees for healing on either side of the river. And I was dipping water out of that river, and my head was tilted back, and I was just drinking. I was pouring that water into my mouth and drinking that living water, and it was the best tasting, most refreshing, most invigorating water I've ever had in my life. And I was kneeling there on my knees and drinking that water. And then at the end of that vision or at the end of that dream, I came back into my body. And the Lord said to me, "Go and drink," because I hadn't drank any water for 3 days. And so the Lord said to me, "Go and drink and refresh your natural body as well." And so that is the living water, and I believe each One of us can be nourished. That's what Jesus is saying here. If you knew the gift of God, you can have this living water, and it will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, in verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have said well," or "you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And so that is the instruction for us today, beloved. We are to worship God in spirit and in truth. The truth comes from knowing God's word. The truth comes from sound doctrine. We have the blessings of being able to read God's word and the canonized scripture that has been with us for many, many centuries now. And it is the truth, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So that is the truth. And true worshipers worship him in spirit and in truth. And in spirit, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth in all things. And so we don't have to be in Jerusalem to worship. We don't have to be on any mountain to worship. You can worship wherever you are. You can worship in your home. You can worship in your car. You can worship in your tractor, your truck, any place that you are. You can worship in spirit and truth. That's not in an encouragement or a doctrinal statement that says it's okay to stay away from church. I don't believe that. I believe God wants us in church to gather together and to assemble together to worship him. But when you're not in church, you can worship wherever you are at. And so that is God's will then, that we worship him and spirit in spirit and in truth. Well, what happened to this lady that Jesus met at the well, this encounter, this chance encounter at the well, after she realized that he was a prophet, after he prophesied over her and told her she had already had five husbands and she was living with another man that was not her husband, she realized that he had the prophetic gift, that he was something unusual, that he was something very special. She didn't know that he was the Son of God, but she understood that he was something very unusual and that he was a prophet. She went running into town. She became an evangelist. She went running into town, and she told all the people into town, "Come and see this man who has prophesied over me, told me everything about myself. He knows all the secrets of my life." And beloved, Jesus knows all the secrets of your life. He knows everything that you do in the dark. He knows everything that you do in the light. He knows everything about your life, all the times that you lie, all the times that you steal, all the times that you're looking at pornography or whatever it is you're doing that separates you and keeps you hiding in the shadows. And so Jesus knows, and he sees through us everything in our life, every detail in our life, and he still loves us. He wants us to be reconciled back to God. He shed his precious blood for you, that you can be reconciled back to God, that you can know God and know Jesus for all eternity, and that your sins can be forgiven, and that you can walk in newness of life. Well, I'm going to close today with John chapter 7, verse 37. And this talks again about the living water. This talks about this water that Jesus spoke of in John chapter 4. On the next day, The great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The very same thing he said to the lady there at the Samaritan well. And by this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, Truly, this is the prophet. Well, you can have the Holy Spirit. You can have that living water in you. You can do it right now, today. It is yours to have. It is God's will that you have it. It is not his will that any should perish. It is not his will that any should be barren, should be dry, should be a desert. It is his will that we all be flowing with that living water that springs up out of your life, and it can be reinvigorated, it can be renewed, it can be refreshed, and that living water then is the Holy Spirit, which is available and has been poured out on all mankind, and it is available to you today. All you have to do is say yes to Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I want that living water. Yes, Jesus, I'm dry, I'm barren. I need that living water. I need you in my life. And if you will say yes to Jesus today, get down on your knees, repent of your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. I receive you today. I receive you today. He will be faithful and true then to set you aside, to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, beloved, I thank you for listening today. I thank you for your support of Gather the Outcast Ministry. We have great things going here in Africa. Have a children's home project. We're working on the registration right now to get the children's home registered, to get children into the home. And this has been a great obstacle, a great challenge for us, but we're seeing it through to the end, and there will be children out there in that home eventually in short time. And so I invite your support. I invite you to sit down, write out a check to support Gather the Outcast Ministry, the Crusades we're doing in Africa, the church revival meetings, and all the other good things, the Children's Home Project, the radio broadcast, all these things. Your support is greatly appreciated. Your support is coveted. And so we thank you for those who are supporting us, and we invite each and every one of you to partner with us as we go into the year 2019. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.